Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you happen to be doing at this time. So grateful to have you tuning in for this worship podcast. And I invite you to prepare yourself for the word that will be offered as you listen to our morning's anthem, Peace Like a River.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Church family, this is a sermon titled Looking Backwards, Looking Forwards, and it comes from Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Listen for the word of God. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, to the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heraclitus, the Greek philosopher who lived around 535 BCE, is quoted as saying, "Change is the only constant in life." Let us begin with prayer. Dear God, today is my last opportunity to preach at this wonderful church, and I am unbelievably grateful for these people who have become a part of the fabric of my life for the past 3 years. Remind us that we all have difficulty coping with change, for change represents a loss of what we know and love and sometimes what we have taken for granted. Gracious and holy God, I pray that you might pour through me the gift of preaching, so that whether we are on top of the world today or hidden in life's shadows or most probably someplace in between, you will give this message your blessing so that it speaks to us at our place of deepest need. And we know that you will, for we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Søren Kierkegaard, the 19th century Danish theologian, once said, "We live our lives looking forward, but we understand our lives looking backwards. I think his words are pure gold. Let me say them again. We live our lives looking forward, but we understand our lives looking backwards. It is so very true. As I look into your faces, faces I have come to know and love these past 3 years, I find it hard to believe that I won't be seeing you every week, every Sunday from now on. And I want you to know how very much you have meant to me and how much I appreciate how you have welcomed me with open arms into your lives, into your homes, into this church. You will be deeply missed. So thank you. Everything we read in the Gospels suggests that Jesus knew he was going to die. Jesus knew the disciples would be confused and grief-stricken and anxious, and just as he taught them in life, so too he prepared them for dealing with his death. Paul put it this way in his letter to the church at Philippi: "Forget what lies behind. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal of the upward calling of Jesus Christ. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's take them apart one by one, shall we? First of all, forget what lies behind. There is a natural human tendency for us to look back. We have history books, yearbooks, photo albums, iPhones, memories that allow us to look back. And there is a great value in looking back. We look back to affirm where we've been and where we are going. We look back to remember and chart a course for the future. In The Sacred Journey, author and Presbyterian minister Frederick Buechner writes, "It is mainly for some clue to where I am going that I search through where I have been. For some hint as to whom I am becoming or failing to become, that I delve into who I used to be." There is a time for us to look back, but only if it carries with it a positive purpose. Looking back is one thing, living in the past is another. When I first arrived here, I heard myself making references on occasion to other churches I have served, and people would listen politely. And while I told stories and tried to share ideas, but the truth is, at some point, you have to be where you are. This is something I will try hard to remember when I start over in Bronxville next month, so that I don't keep saying, "Well, friends, at the Congregational Church of New Canaan, we did it this way. And in my opinion, this is the right way and the only way to do it." One wise minister told me that as ministers, we come to a church and we catch the local diseases. And when we leave the church, we are healed of them. Now, my family has lived in New Canaan for 12 years, and I'm not exactly sure what I have caught since I arrived. Nor am I sure what I am about to be healed of when I leave. But I do know, and I have a very strong feeling, that it has to do with the phenomenon known as the type A personality and the sermon I preached just a few weeks ago on hurry sickness. Out of all of the sermons I have preached here, I was never so excited about preaching as the day that I got up here a couple of weeks ago and preached on hurry sickness. I told you that you cannot do anything truly important in a hurry. You cannot love in a hurry. You cannot appreciate in a hurry. You cannot listen in a hurry. And at that point, I watched your heads nod as your body language told me, "Oh my gosh, all right already, get to the point." Within minutes of the beginning of coffee hour, one of you, who will remain anonymous, came over to me and said, "I have never felt so uncomfortable in a sermon." It was like, "Oh, make her stop." You hit the nail right on the head. There was nowhere for us to hide. Another parishioner made an appointment and said, "Your job as the preacher is to touch the nerve, not sever it. There is a fine line between touching the nerve and severing it." So Paul tells us to forget what lies behind, our mistakes, our failures. In my mind, it was one of my greatest successes. And if it will keep us from moving forward. When we live in the past, we don't enjoy the present. We have trouble imagining the future. We look back only to help us see where we are going in the future. Number two, strain forward to what lies ahead for the upward calling of God in Jesus Christ. One of the first things that attracted me to this church was the people. You are an impressive group by any measure. You have wonderful skills, and more important, for a minister, you are willing to share them with the church. The depth and breadth of dedication of people in this church is, frankly, awe-inspiring. The greatest joy for me will be to see you keeping up the good work and to watch you, year in and year out, continue to extend yourselves and outdo yourselves, all to the glory of God. Hey, there are some positive things that come from a group of highly competitive people. I am also very grateful for so many people in the church who find their calling to serve God in their work. Some people want to take their job and shove it, as the old country and western song says, but many of you, in fact, most of you, truly love what you do. You find purpose and meaning in your work. You serve those around you with compassion and love and dedication. You build up those around you. You encourage your colleagues. You enjoy being part of a team, whether it's a team of doctors or bankers or teachers or musicians. You simply love what you do. And you know what? It shows. When our deepest longing meets the world's greatest need, that is where we find our calling. And when we find our calling, it's a win-win for everyone. Every day is like a vacation. We cannot believe that someone is going to pay us to do what we truly love. This is the upward calling of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I will tell you, it changes. It develops with age. We are not locked into what we were attracted to in our early 20s. We grow. That is a gift you have taught me. We grow. I came here believing my greatest gift was children and youth ministry. I leave knowing that the next chapter will have a heavy dose of pastoral care in it. What a joy and an honor it has been to work with our Stephen ministers, our visitation team, our prayer shawl ministry, the flower ministry, the card writing ministry team, and to know we are changing lives. Third, Jesus tells his disciples, "Remember, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So here's the million-dollar question. If Jesus promises to be with us always, how do we stay connected with Jesus? How do we stay connected to God, the greatest power in the universe? Simple. Jesus prayed, and he stayed in close contact with those around him. He did two things to stay connected to God. He prayed, constantly prayed, and he was deeply rooted in community. And this is the same way we stay connected to God. I have preached on the subject of prayer many times, so I'm not going to repeat myself here. Needless to say, all of my sermons on prayer can be reduced to one sentence. If you want to grow closer to God, begin with prayer. Instead, I want to draw your attention to the second half of the equation, which is the importance of community. And this will be the downside of life after COVID, the love of quote-unquote watching church from home. Watching church from home, which I have heard over and over again, is great when you're on vacation or traveling, but, and I cannot stress this enough, you miss the community. So let me explain for the last time why this matters. For the same reason that climbers rope together when they are climbing, for the same reason that people who go on Weight Watchers lose 3 times more weight than those who go it alone. For the same reason that people find support in AA, NA, Al-Anon, we all know that when we go it alone, more often than not, we fail. Why is it that together we stand a good chance to change and grow, but alone we don't always carry through? When we live in community, it is as if we are roped together. And when one of us falls, they can only fall so far before the others take notice. And the other climbers help pick up the pieces. So call it a clan, call it a tribe, call it a family, call it your small group at church. Whatever you call it, you need to be a part of one. At our best, we take care of each other. We hold ourselves and each other accountable as we grow into the people God calls us to be. 3 years, almost to the day. It feels like the blink of an eye. Do you realize that when I first arrived, we were in masks? We were not meeting for worship. Each minister went in the chapel, took off their mask, and preached to a camera in an empty room. It was 8 months after I arrived on Palm Sunday when we gathered outside under the tents for worship. It has been quite a ride. So what is the next chapter as you look forward? That is for you to decide. But looking backwards and looking forward, I am sure of one thing, for you and me both. Dear church family, the best is yet to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Will you pray with me? O God of love, you are with us in every transition and change. Some changes are filled with excitement, some with anxiety, and some are filled with both. This morning we recall your deep compassion, your presence, your abounding love in the midst of all of life's changes. We thank you for the gifts, the talents, the skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. We thank you for the work of others that gives breadth and depth to our own work. Be with us as we move forward, rejoicing with you and supporting one another. As Jesus taught his own disciples, we are bold to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.